Morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Today we begin our worship with Luther's morning prayer. You'll find it on page 167 in the front part of your hymn book, page 167, and the first of the morning prayers. Please join me in unison. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, the first four verses. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I'm going to warn you, Pastor. She talks like a sailor. That was the warning that I was given before going to see a friend of somebody that was a member of my church. So a lady in my congregation had asked me to make a hospital visit on someone who was not from our congregation. And this woman was someone she knew from work, apparently had a pretty gruff and rough personality. She told me that she'd never gone to church her whole life and often made fun of Christianity. But recently her husband had died of cancer, and the same week he died, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was now possibly only months away from leaving this life. She was in her upper 60s, and she was in the hospital, so my member who knew her asked that I would go see her. But she said, just to warn you, she talks like a sailor. So I went to meet with her and had a little devotion and asked her if I could say a prayer for her, which she said was fine. And I could tell she was afraid of dying. And so I said, I'm going to come back tomorrow and have another devotion with you, if that's okay. She said that was fine. And through the course of time, she was in the hospital about a week, and I probably saw her every other day. I would have a devotion with her, and she finally asked that I would come and see her at her home. She was sent home and put into a hospice care program, and she had about 2 months to live. And so I would go to her bedside probably twice a week, sometimes three times a week, and just read to her and give her the simple, beautiful truths of law and gospel that the Bible has. And I frequently would read this text to her, and she would request it every time I came. She called it the mansion passage. Could you read that mansion passage to me again? In my Father's house there are many mansions, and so on. And I used it as the text for her funeral as well. And by the end of her life, by the Holy Spirit working through his word, God had created a very strong, confident trust and faith in her heart in her Savior, which was a surprise to many of the people that came to her funeral who knew her as someone who talked like a sailor, to have me speak so boldly about her salvation. Trust and faith is what this text is all about. Jesus says to his disciples, you trust in God, trust also in me. Our Lord is very aware of the insecurities of his followers. He's very aware of the fact that it's easy for our faith at times to waver and get pretty thin and maybe even sometimes go away. The context for this reading is the night of our Lord's arrest, when he's been celebrating the Passover with his disciples and then speaking to them about his upcoming death and the trial he's going to be placed into. And it's during that time when he senses these fears and insecurities and uncertainties in the hearts and minds of his followers. And so he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. The Greek word there means to be agitated, like shook up and placed onto ground that feels insecure and is moving. Now, it's interesting to think of that. Here are Jesus' disciples who've been with him for 3 years. They've witnessed miracles that he's done. They've watched him calm the storms on the Sea of Galilee. Some of them were there to see him glowing in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Think of all that they had witnessed and seen, and yet even they are struggling and weak in their faith, and he senses that and has to speak to them so tenderly. What are the reasons why you and I have insecurities about God or about our future? Why is it that you or I have fears in our hearts too? Well, I jotted down some of my reasons. First of all, because we've been let down in life. There have been times in our lives when maybe we had plans and dreams of how things were supposed to go and how we thought they were going to go, and things that we really put our efforts into, and then something happened and the rug got pulled out from under us. So that's one of the reasons. In the world that we live in, there are no real guarantees of things. We can have people make promises to us that don't always come true. Sometimes plans, the best plans that we can make, get foiled. And we're walking into kind of this unknown future, like a dark fog in front of us. So those are some of the reasons why we can be struck with uncertainty and with fear. But when Jesus speaks to his followers regarding their eternal salvation, he's basically saying to us, you need to understand something. I am not like your thinking. I am not like other people that may make promises to you. I'm not like the uncertainty of this world. Because he himself is equal to God the Father who controls all things. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All history is under his control and domain. And so this is the one who's making the promise to us. It's not your mom or your dad or your thinking or your planning about things, which are all filled with uncertainty and the inability to control anything. You're dealing with God himself, the one who is above all and controls all history. One of the other reasons that we can often be filled with uncertainty, especially when it comes to our salvation, is because we just know how weak and sinful we are. I've had a number of elderly people say to me that people who are devout Christians throughout their life, that as they get closer to possibly dying, sometimes they can be overwhelmed with fears about things from their past, certain sins that come back up to them from their youth and so on. I remember speaking to one man in an ICU unit, and I said to him, are you afraid of dying? And he said, no, I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm afraid of not going to heaven. Now, our Lord here is the one, as true God, who knows everything about us. He knew everything about his disciples. He knew the upcoming sins of Peter, who would deny him in a matter of hours. He knows all of this about us, his followers. He knows the most horrible, wicked things about you in your life and mine too. And yet he still gives us this bold promise to those who cling to him even with the smallest faith. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He even underlines it. He says, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you this. He wants us to recognize the great certainty that we can have, not because of us or because of how we've lived our lives or because of the strength of our faith, all of which are all over the place, but because of him and his work and what he's done and his promise. That's where our certainty is to be found. You know, trust is kind of an interesting thing. It's the core aspect of the Christian faith. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, my kids were over in Thailand, and they did one of these huge zip lines where you go across the jungle, and they rode on one of these zip lines. They put you in a harness and take you across the trees and everything, and I don't know if I could do it. But think if you worked for the company that made those zip lines and made the harness, and you were standing there next to people who were going to go out and ride one of these. You could give them the statistics on how much weight it can hold and all the details and specifications of how strong this thing is and that it can be easily ridden upon and then you wouldn't have any trouble and so on. You could spew out knowledge and information about it because you work for this company. But if all of a sudden you have to put yourself in the harness and ride across the trees, that's the difference between knowledge of something and trust. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just ask us to understand intellectually, as important as it is, the doctrine of justification, for instance, and all the intricacies of what it means to be saved by grace. He doesn't just ask you to intellectually know what that means. He wants you to get in the harness. He invites you to put your confidence and your trust for your very life and your salvation in him and to ride in him to that beautiful mansion above in heaven. God has not made the reality of your heaven dependent on the severity or the strength of your faith. There might be people who ride that zip line who all the way across are still terrified and are still fearful in their mind that it may not hold them, and yet it does all the way to the end. The same is true for us. We may have such weak faith at times that we find it hard to really put our trust and confidence in what God says to us and all of his promises. And yet that doesn't change his promises. And it doesn't change that he's God. And it doesn't change that he's in control of everything. But he simply invites us to put our trust and our confidence in him. Your Savior has gone ahead of you to make reservations for your future home in heaven. And he has made sure that your name is not only on the registry, but it's also on the towels in your room. And he's also made sure that the meals have been selected for the best food that you could ever want to eat. All he asks of you is that you would believe that and put your confidence in that. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Almighty God, you know that we are set in the middle of so many and great dangers, and that because of the weakness of our mortal nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.